Welcome, everyone, to the Ready for the Draft podcast. I am your host, Greg Schutz. This is episode 19 of the 2025 podcast series, where we take a look at the draft-eligible prospects and get you ready for the NFL draft. And day three of the NFL scouting combine took place, and we got to see quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers all showcase their talents out there, Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana. We first got to see the running backs, and then we got to see two different sets of quarterbacks and wide receiver pairings. So without further ado, there's a lot to cover here, three different position groups. We're going to go ahead and jump straight into the running backs, talk about the, you know, really who stood out and who might need to do a little bit more work. So what I would say when we took a look at that running back class, look, this is a class that is going to be a lot of fun to watch down the stretch. You know, they're a lot of fun to watch with the game film. I think it was a lot of fun to watch in the combine, even if you talk about the All-Star games as well. But then you get into pro day, studying the tape a little bit more, and then ultimately on draft day, where are all these guys going to go? You know, I think that's one of the things that's really going to be interesting. When you talk about the top running backs that were running, because Ashton Jeanty did not work out, 5'8 and a half, 211 pounds is what Jeanty ended up measuring in at. He's a guy that, to me, I think, if I'm the Raiders, right, Pete Carroll, you had Marshawn Lynch as your top running back when you were in Seattle, when you had that success. Before that, at USC, you had the Thunder and Lightning, Reggie Bush and Lendale White. I think here, you know, they went best player available, missing out on quarterbacks. Last season, they hit a home run with Brock Bowers. I think they could do the exact same thing with Ashton Jeanty there at number six. But the running backs after him, that they were all on display. I thought that Omarion Hampton definitely stood out, ran a 4.46 40, 38-inch vertical leap at 6 foot and 221 pounds, carried that frame really well. You watched really good footwork in the drills as well. To me, Omarion Hampton is your number two running back, and if there is another guy that's going to come off the board in round number one, I think it's going to be him. Although Travion Henderson right behind him, running a 4.43 40, 5'10", 202 pounds, 38.5-inch vertical leap. This was another guy who was a tremendous athlete, showed up really well. And so I think these are two guys are going to be neck and neck there for who's the next running back going to be taken off the board. You look at Quinshon Judkins, also out of Ohio State, formerly of Mississippi. I think there were a lot of people that were expecting him to run a little bit slower. You know, I think when you watched him in comparison to Travion Henderson with the burst, I think Henderson gets up to speed maybe a little bit quicker, but Quinshon Judkins ran a 4.48 40. With a 1.51 10-yard split versus Henderson's 1.52. So I thought that was something that really stood out. Also a 38.5-inch vertical leap, 11-foot broad jump. So there's that lower body explosiveness to go along with that 6-foot, 221-pound frame. He and Omarion Hampton really about the same size. And, you know, they're running just within a couple of hundredths of a second off from each other within that 40 time. So I look at these guys, they all kind of fit that same mold. They're all coming off the board in the second round. If one of them does a sneak into round number one, I think because of the depth of the running back class, teams are ultimately going to look at other positions in round one. Fair or not fair, I think you're going to see a lot of guys come off the board on day two in both rounds two and three. I think, you know, we could really see a lot of guys, you know, There could be six, seven, eight guys that could be coming off the board on day two alone. Caleb Johnson out of Iowa at 6'1", 224 pounds, ran a 4.57 40 with a 1.62 10-yard split. You know, not overly explosive. I don't think we were expecting him to be. This is a guy who's kind of a one-cut-and-go, get downhill, especially, you know, those outside zones, let him do his work. You know, I thought he did okay with the pass-catching drills. You know, not nearly as fluid a receiver as some of these other guys. But I thought he did okay. You know, Dylan Sampson didn't run a 40, but at 5'8", 200 pounds, they said that, you know, he was nursing a hamstring injury or coming off of a hamstring injury. Looked plenty explosive in the drills. You saw, you know, really nice suddenness with that lateral agility. Cam Scadaboo out of Arizona State didn't even run, didn't do any of the drills at 5'9 and a half, 219 pounds. So we'll have to wait until Arizona State's pro day to see him work out. But 39.5-inch vertical leap, I think that tells the story right there. You know, for sure. Fastest guy out there was Bashaul Tooten out of Virginia Tech. 5'9, 206. This guy's got the blazing speed. 4.32 40 with a 1.49 10-yard split. That's the fastest of the 10-yard splits. And then on top of that, a 40.5-inch vertical leap. This dude, I mean, you know, he's got the kick return ability as well. He's going to take the top off of a defense if you want to split him out and let him take off down the field as well. Only at 5'9", but, you know, compactly built. You know, he's 206, so he's got some size to him. He's one of those guys for me that is going to be rising up draft boards because of that speed. Jadon Blue came out and said, hey, I could probably run in that 4-1, 4-2 range, both he and Isaiah Bond, who we'll be talking about here in a minute. But a 5'9", 196, ran a 4.38 40. I think Jadon Blue is probably going to be an early day three pick, but a guy that has excellent hands. He's got the speed to boot. DJ Giddens at 6'2", 12, you know, bigger, one of the bigger running backs, 4.43 40, 39.5-inch vertical leap, excellent explosiveness. But this guy also has those jump cuts that are going to just make you drive defenses crazy. So he was another guy that I thought, you know, really stood out. Damian Martinez out of Miami lost some weight, 6'2", 17, moving a lot better, ran a 4.51, caught the ball, I thought, pretty well for him. Doing a really good job, especially on some of those throws over the shoulder. You know, speaking of receivers, Donovan Edwards out of Michigan. This guy just looks more like a receiver. Looks more comfortable there at 5'11", 205, ran a 4.44 40, 38-inch vertical leap. He's going to be one of those receivers there on the outside. Woody Marks out of SC, 5'10", 207, just looks so natural as a pass catcher. Look, he caught 83 balls his sophomore season at Mississippi State, playing for the late, great Mike Leach. Then he comes to USC, 1,000-yard rusher. Woody Marks ran a 4.53 40, which is plenty fast. He's a guy that he does a good job in pass protection as well. So Woody Marks probably can come off the board somewhere in day three in that fourth, fifth round range. But I have him ranked a lot higher than a lot of other people because of his ability to catch the football out of the backfield. Rashard Smith out of SMU, another guy. You know, this is a converted wide receiver at 5'10", 194 pounds. You know, you think about Tyrone Tracy coming off the board in round number five, the converted receiver. You know, ended up moving to running back, and with Rashard Smith, 4.39 40. So another guy who can get out and be a weapon in the passing game. R.J. Harvey's another one at 5'8", 205. Another shorter but thickly built, 4.4 40, 38-inch vertical leap. So those, again, guys that stood out. Jarquez Hunter, a guy that's not getting a ton of buzz, not nearly as explosive as some of these other guys, but he ran a 4.44 40 at 5'9", 204. He's another guy that I think teams are going to be interested in on day three of the draft. Taj Brooks, 5'9", 214 pounds, ran a 4.5, 240. He's one of those, I think he's lost a little bit of weight. I was surprised when he came in at 5'9". I thought he was a little bit taller than that. Physical though, three cone drill, ran sub 7 at a 6.9, also ran a 4.06 short shuttle. Taj Brooks is just one of those interesting backs, put up a ton of yards there at Texas Tech. The tackle breaking ability there as well, I think, stands out. Devin Neal out of Kansas, 5'11", 213, only runs a 4.58 40, 37.5-inch vertical leap. This is a guy, 1,000 yards in each of his years there at Kansas, also an accomplished receiver. So not the fastest guy. I think that's probably going to send his draft stock down a little bit, but definitely a guy that if you're sitting there somewhere in the early to mid-day three, he could be one of those steals in the draft. Ollie Gordon the second out of Oklahoma State at 6'1", 226 pounds. Big physical dude, only ran a 4.6, 140, and he's not really a guy that's going to be able to create on his own. I think he's one of those guys that he wants to get north and south, drop those pads to finish those runs. Looked a little bit more like the 2023 self, but to me, he's still a guy that I think is a little bit of a step slow in comparison to some of these other guys in the group, so I think that's something that he has to watch out for. And then Kyle Monongai, out of Rutgers, 5'8", 211. This was a guy that I thought, Rutgers, he was a bell cow there, was physical, compact frame, ran a 4.6, looked a little slower in and out of his cuts than some of these other guys out there. So he was a guy that I think has his work cut out for him going forward. You move on to the quarterback group. There are only three that actually did any of the timing drills. Brady Cook ran a 4.59 40 to really set the pace. Tyler Shuck, 4.69 right after that, and then Seth Hennigan with a 4.76. Cook really a great day overall. Ran a 37-inch vertical leap, 10.8 broad jump, 7.01 in the three cone drill as well. So really set the tone as an athlete. And the first half of guys, that was Max Brosmer, Brady Cook, Jackson Dart, Quinn Ewers, Dylan Gabriel, Seth Hennigan, and Will Howard. I thought Jackson Dart did a really good job, with his deep ball. There were a few that were a little flat, but you could see the arm strength. The ball just really jumped out of his hand. 6'2", 223. Surprisingly, Brady Cook actually spun the ball pretty well. 6'2", 214. Threw some really good deep balls. You could tell that I think he's really worked on his mechanics. And so Brady Cook has been one of those guys that I thought was going to be an undrafted free agent. He actually looks a lot cleaner of a prospect than you initially thought. I think there were a lot of throws that he missed that he wished he would have had back. And I think that's really what he's been working on is some of those mechanic issues, those flaws in his game. And I thought it really showed here at the combine. Quinn Ewers, 6'2", 214. He doesn't generate a whole lot of torque with that lower body, so you worry about the arm strength at times. Balls do hang up in the air. We saw that a couple of times on the deep balls. But, it's just the inconsistency there, right? With it, there were some throws that he put right on the money, especially throwing the ball outside the numbers. Others that he was off. And there were a couple that he was way off. So Ewers overall, I thought, had a decent day, but he's one of those guys, again, it gives me pause because of just that inconsistency to his game still. Dylan Gabriel out of Oregon, 5'11", 205, formerly of UCF and Oklahoma. Dude can spin it. That's one of the things. He's got the real quick release. You saw that. Struggled at times with the deep ball. Ball placement, he was throwing one to Tez Johnson, and that was ultimately a misfire. Sometimes he'd throw kind of a moon ball, and it would allow guys to run underneath it, but it's one of those things where I think Dylan Gabriel's deep balls can have a tendency to hang up there. It'll drift to the inside a little bit instead of being able to throw the ball over the outside shoulder, which can get you into trouble. Good defensive backs will make a play on that football all day long. And then Will Howard out of Ohio State, 6'4", 236. I just thought that Will Howard, there were a lot of inconsistencies, a lot of inaccurate balls, deep balls. There were a few that were flat, a couple that hung up in the air as well, throwing the ball to the outside, even on the slants, was missing, his target. And I know that, you're throwing to a lot of newer receivers, but everybody's in that same mix. I thought Will Howard definitely took a step back. And honestly, when you look at the second group of quarterbacks, I thought that was a much better polished group. Riley Leonard out of Notre Dame, Kyle McCord out of Syracuse, Jalen Milroe out of Alabama, and Tyler Shuck out of Louisville. These were the guys that I thought really stood out and really separated themselves, along with Jackson Dart. You kind of throw him into the mix. Quinn Ewers, yeah, I said he had a decent day, but man, there's just some things about his game that give me pause. Let's start on Tyler Shuck at 6'5", 219. Showed some good athleticism again with that 4.69 40. You could tell that, this guy's got a lot of arm strength. There were some deep balls. He gets to the back of his drop so quickly, and then ultimately, his balls were kind of falling short, or it would kind of drift on him a little bit, get him into trouble. There were a couple of misfires on the outside. There was the back pylon drill where he was kind of misfiring a little bit there as well. But I thought overall, this dude can spin it. He can make all the throws, and he's a guy that's pushing to be a top five quarterback in this year's draft. It doesn't matter about the age so much anymore at the NFL level because of the way that the league takes care of its quarterbacks. I thought Riley Leonard had a pretty solid day overall. 6'4", 216 pounds. We know the athlete that he is, but he didn't really get to show off his deep ball accuracy at Notre Dame. I thought you saw a really nice deep ball. You saw him kind of change things up. There were a couple balls on a line, but really able to hit those deep balls. Jackson Dart was kind of the guy that really wanted to put the football on a line. Sometimes it would get him into trouble because the ball was just too flat. But when it was on the money, it looked pretty freaking pretty. Riley Leonard, not quite on that same speed, but this was a guy that, once that back foot hit, especially on those out routes, he was able to drive the football to hit those receivers, comeback route as well, did a really nice job. It was where Quinn Ewers and Will Howard kind of struggled, was that comeback there on the outside. Kyle McCord from Syracuse, another guy who has a solid, strong arm at 6'3", 218. threw a nice deep ball. Ball would get out and get out of his hands in a hurry. Jalen Milroe, 6'2", 217. We know the athlete that he is. The real question mark is his ability as a quarterback. Deep ball, I had no issues there. But everyone knows that Jalen Milroe can throw a pretty deep ball. That's probably the best part of his game as a quarterback. One of the things that you don't really get to see here is his ability to understand, pre and post snap reads, and that decision making, being able to see the entire field. But what you did get to see was some inaccurate balls with his throwing. Whether it was the slants, whether it was the out routes. Also on the comebacks, it was just some errant throws, and a lot of that just comes down to mechanics. So that's really again, both he and Quinn Ewers. I worry about the thing with it is Jalen Milroe is going to be ranked higher than Quinn Ewers for me, just because of the fact that he is that athlete. And if you look at this group, Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, probably the best athletes, and then probably after that maybe Tyler Shuck, in terms of those quarterbacks that can move and get outside the pocket, just in the group that worked out here. And then Brady Cook, surprisingly, after that, could be thrown into that mix along with Riley Leonard. I think Kyle McCord isn't nearly as fluid of an athlete as some of these other guys. Dylan Gabriel is on the shorter end at 5'11", 205, but he's got that quick release that can make up for that in that short to intermediate passing game. It's an interesting group. Obviously, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders are going to be your top two guys. Who's going to be number three? I think Jackson Dart's pretty much solidified that. So then it comes down to who's number four, right? Tyler Shuck, Jalen Milroe. I think Milroe may have the edge because of the athleticism. I think Kyle McCord's right there. But then that next group, I really think Riley Leonard kind of puts himself above some of those other guys because of his mobility. You want to be able to see him throw on the run and make some of those plays off script. Didn't get to do a ton of that at Notre Dame, again, because they wanted to run the football so much. I'd probably have him there. And then, you've got Dylan Gabriel, Kyle McCord. Those guys are right in that mix. McCord, what he did at Syracuse, put up a lot of yards. The problem with McCord was, again, that sixth interception game really rings and resonates in everyone's head. Quinn Ewers, to me, is a guy that's playing catch-up at this point. That's really the big question mark there. Max Brosmer, he was there throwing at 6'2", 217 out of Minnesota. The deep ball was a bit flat. So didn't get to see a ton there. Seth Hennigan out of Memphis, 6'3", 215. Decent athlete, ran a 4.7, 6.40. He was a guy that, the deep ball was landing pretty well for him. I think he's got a chance to be a late day three pick. So again, this isn't a really strong quarterback class. But there are a lot of guys that I think are going to hear their names called on day three of the draft. And we may actually see more quarterbacks taken because we don't have nearly the front load that we saw last year with six quarterbacks taken in round one. Next quarterback taken was Spencer Rattler in round number five. I think that we could probably see two in round one. They're talking about Jackson Dart potentially. In round number one, that's a little rich. You probably take him at the top of round number two. I think after that, you've got Tyler Shuck. You've got Jalen Milroe. I think you've got those two probably coming off the board in round number three. Maybe Kyle McCord fits into that as well. I think McCord, round four. I think Riley Leonard could potentially be a round four guy. Will Howard, to me, has kind of fallen out of favor a little bit. In my eyes, I think, fourth, fifth round is probably where you're going to see him go. I think Dylan Gabriel, I don't know that there's a chance for him in round three. I think round four makes more sense, which will reason why I put Will Howard in round five. I think Quinn Ewers is probably that round five guy there as well. You say that, and yet, at the end of the day, a lot of those quarterbacks that I just named will probably come off the board in the sixth or seventh round, just because of the fact that, we saw that last year. We saw that, that quarterback drop-off. And I think after you get hit Dart, there are a lot of question marks. I think Milroe, because of the athleticism, that'll get him going. After that, you may even take another round before you see McCord, Leonard, Gabriel. I think that's that next group. you know, Milroe and then Shuck, I think. And then that next group, it's going to be a little bit of a jump there. They may not come off the board until round five. You know, so, you know, Dart in round two. I think Milroe in round number three, along with Shuck. Could McCord, Leonard, Gabriel potentially fall into that mix? Maybe. But they could easily fall into that round four, round five range. Then after that, you know, Quinn Ewers and Will Howard coming in after that fact. I think Brady Cook has done enough to potentially get himself drafted, showcasing, you know, that improvement with his mechanics. And then, you know, Seth Hennigan, Max Brosmer, maybe get a late round flyer for them. Potentially Curtis Rourke as well, although Curtis Rourke's, he's not the most mobile guy. And I think, you know, with the way that the game is going these days, he's one of those guys that I think is probably the least mobile of the quarterbacks that we've seen. So I think it's going to be tough for Rourke to get himself drafted. So that's what I see with the quarterbacks, especially coming out of the combine, which then takes us to our wide receivers. And, you know, there's the first group. And when you talk about the first group, Josh Kelly was kind of your cutoff. So that just kind of gives you an idea with the alphabet there. But Matthew Golden, 5'11", 191, ran a 4.29 40. Once he did that, it was a lot like Nick Amon-Worry on day two of the combine. Basically said, I'm done after that. 4.29, I think that solidifies his status as the as a first rounder. And he's that guy I talked about at the end of last podcast. You've got those speed receivers. Xavier Worthy was one that was able to surge his and find his way into round number one. There were a lot of people that were talking about, well, you know, is he, you know, he's kind of slight, but he was able to emerge because of that speed. Ladd McConkey was a guy I think everyone was expecting to come off the board in round number one. He ends up falling to round two versus a guy like Ricky Pearsall running sub 4.4, turned heads, ended up rising into round number one. So just, you know, food for thought there when you think about who's going to come off the board in round one. I think Matthew Golden absolutely answered the bell. We've got a lot of guys that were running in that 4.4 range, guys that, you know, everyone's going to be talking about. You know, Isaiah Bond, 5'11", 180, runs a 4.39 40, not running that 4.1 4.2 that he was talking about, but still, you know, plenty fast. He'll be a guy that'll come off the board on day two. One of the guys that I was really excited to see run was Torrey Horton out of Colorado State at 6'2.5", 196 pounds. Really a productive receiver there at Colorado State, but coming off the injury, what could he run? Ran a 4.41 40, 37.5-inch vertical leap. He's a guy for me that teams or whoever ends up drafting him is going to be super excited that they did. I think he'll be a third round pick and a guy that, again, teams are going to get really excited about, because I think he's a phenomenal receiver at the collegiate level. We didn't get to see Emeka Ebuka. We didn't get to see Travis Hunter, so keep that in mind as we're talking about these receivers. Jack Besh out of TCU, 6'1", 214, did not run a 40, but, you know, put up 19 reps of 225 in the bench press, 6'8", 4'3", cone drill. So that was, you know, was a solid time. When you look at it, there are, you know, Tez Johnson was the guy in that group, but, you know, with Jack Besh, what you saw, you know, was essentially what you've seen all throughout the season and into the All-Star games, just excellent hands. You know, that was the thing that you really saw. Didn't matter what drill he was running, just looked absolutely smooth and just plucking the ball out of the air with really strong hands. Luther Bird in the third out of Missouri, 6 foot, 206, you know, really solidly built at that receiver position. Looks a lot like Debo Samuel. Runs a 4.41 40 with a 1.54 10 yard split. I really got excited watching Luther Burden run that 4.41 because that basically solidifies, you know, his status. You know, and really, I think there's going to be a competition after you see Travis Hunter and Tet McMillan come off the board. Who's going to be that third receiver? I think you're going to see Emeka Ebuka, who's a track guy in and of himself. Matthew Golden and Luther Burden, those three guys are going to be battling it out. Who's going to be that guy? Look, Luther Burden, I don't think he dropped a single pass while he was at Mizzou. You know, his production dropped off a little bit his junior season. You know, that was a team, look, you know, they didn't have Cody Schrader to take pressure off off that passing game. So teams were really kind of keying in on Luther Burden the third. And, you know, look, you know, Theo Weiss and the other receivers there, I don't think they stepped up and elevated their games nearly enough to support him. I still think he's a guy that probably is going to be a top 15 pick potentially. 19 to the Bucks is probably his floor. I like Ayo Manor out of Stanford, 6'2", 206. I talked about on the broadcast, you know, what he did to Travis Hunter. I think he had 294 yards against Colorado in the upset win, the comeback win by the Cardinal in overtime. Travis Hunter, though, was coming off of that lacerated liver. That was his very first game back. But still ran a 4.44 40 with a 38.5-inch vertical leap. Powerful on the outside. A guy that's going to go up and high point the football. Really, really physical presence as a blocker down the field as well. So Ayo Manor is a guy that's going to be a definite second, third round pick. Definitely a day two guy. Ty Felton out of Maryland had a nice day at 6'1", 183, 4.37 40, 39.5-inch vertical leap. This is a guy that can be a deep ball guy. And, a little bit slighter at 183 pounds, but Ty Felton was a guy for me that was really a lot of fun to watch because you just knew that he could get down the field in a hurry. 96 catches, over 1,100 yards, 9 touchdowns. So he was the primary receiver there for the Terps. And, he's a guy that I think teams will be happy to select there on day 3 of the draft. Tez Johnson was just a weird day for him. 5'10", 154. That 154 pounds, I believe, is going to make him the lightest player weighing in at the combine to be drafted. I think that I heard that somewhere. But ran a 4.51 40, which is all right. It's not phenomenal. But, 37-inch vertical leap, 10'11" broad jump, and then runs that 6.65 three cone, which, is an elite time there at that receiver position. And so Tez Johnson, to me, I still think he's a day two pick. I think he's a guy that, the suddenness, he's quicker than he is fast. That's one of the things that you have to understand when you draft him. He's going to be a guy that's going to be a playmaker for you. There's no question about that. When we talk about the big receivers, I already mentioned Ayo Manor. Jaden Higgins out of Iowa State, 6'4", 214. I think he solidified his status as a round two guy. 4.47 40, 39-inch vertical leap. He's a guy that's going to be a red zone nightmare. He's going to go up, pluck the ball out of the air, and really does a good job finishing as well. And then Trey Harris out of Mississippi, a smooth, smooth operator at 6'2", 205. Runs a 4.5, 4.40, 38.5-inch vertical leap. And we're not surprised. At least I wouldn't be, with him because he's not, he's not a blazer. He can do a good job with his route running to, the nuances to be able to get open and create that separation. I'm not too worried about that, though. He's a guy that, was showing that he could get open deep. But I think there are going to be some teams that look at that and say, he's running in that mid 4.5. Is that a guy that we want to take early in round two, or is he potentially going to fall just a little bit? I still think he's a stud. Those were really the guys that stood out. If we're looking at the 40 times, the slowest of that group, Josh Kelly out of Texas Tech, ran a 4.7 40, just a 33-inch vertical leap as well. So, just not an explosive day at all for Josh Kelly. And they played at Fresno State, Washington State, and then at at Texas Tech. That was really his best year. 89 catches, over 1,000 yards, and 5 touchdowns. The other one that ran a little bit slower than expected, or at least for me, was Pat Bryant out of Illinois at 6'2", 204, ran a 4.61 40, 37.5-inch vertical leap. So he's got the lower body explosiveness, a guy that's going to be able to high point the football. But he's a physical receiver. I think there's no doubt about that. 984 yards this past season, 18.2 yards per reception, and 10 touchdowns. A guy that can make plays after the catch. That 4.61, is a bit of a concern. Where does he actually fall in the draft? I think probably fifth round right now probably makes a lot of sense. Then you get to the second half of the receivers. That's from Keandre Lambert-Smith all the way down to Savion Williams. So this group, we didn't have anybody that's running in the 4.29, but we did have a guy hit 4.3, and that was Dante Thornton out of Tennessee, formerly of Oregon. And look, this was a guy that never really was all that productive at Oregon, and really his first year there at Tennessee, but he really figured things out with those splits. 26 catches, 661 yards, so that's a 25.4 yards per reception average and 6 touchdowns. Runs a 4.3 40 and really measured in at 6'5", 205 pounds. So definitely a guy that can take the top off of a defense. You know, the big question mark is why the lack of overall production to his game. I think there are going to be some question marks there for teams to really, you know, understand a little bit better. Keandre Lambert-Smith, you know, this is a guy that, you know, showcased his ability to separate with some of that route running. You know, was at Penn State, went to Auburn, 6'1", 190, ran a 4.3, 7.40. You know, and with Lambert-Smith, you know, another guy who I thought was a pretty smooth receiver. Penn State, you know, had 1,700 yards in four seasons. Shows up at Auburn, 50 catches, 981 yards, 19.6 yards per reception, and 8 touchdowns. So really a downfield threat. Just didn't get to showcase that enough there at Penn State. Jalen Lane out of Virginia Tech, I thought, had a nice day. Ran a 4.3, 4.40, 40-inch vertical leap, 11-foot broad jump as well, 5'10", 191. Slot guy, if you watched him in the gauntlet, this was a dude who was incredibly smooth, showcased some really strong hands as well. So if you're looking for a slot guy on day three, Jalen Lane could potentially be your guy. But there's another Jalen, and Jalen Knoll out of Iowa State, a 5'10", 194. This dude, just he looks like he's ready to go. You know, set the stage in terms of the bench press with 23 reps at 225, ran a 6'8", 2'3 cone drill, but then also 41.5-inch vertical leap, 11.2 broad jump, runs a 4.39 40, and some really strong hands in the gauntlet. This is a guy that, you know, they also showed him on that high point drill, right for the back pylon, you know, able to sky and elevate and haul the pass in. Really the guy who looked the best on that was Tez Johnson. He had an incredible catch on that drill, but another guy, you know, Jalen Knoll, to me, I think he solidified his status as a second round pick. Both he and Jaden Higgins coming out of Iowa State, two round two receivers, I believe, when it's all said and done. Jalen Royals out of Utah State, 6 foot 205. We knew that this guy could, you know, could get out of there quickly. 1.49, 10 yard split, ran a 4.4, 2.40. A dude that's going to be able to get down the field. You see the suddenness with the route running ability as well. I think he's a round two guy for sure. Other guys, you know, Kyle Williams out of Washington State is a guy whose draft stock is really starting to rise. 5'11", 190, 4'4", 40 there coming out of him. Savion Williams out of TCU, big, big receiver. 6'4", 222 pounds, runs a 4'4", 8'40. You know, got some of the longer arms in this group. Isaac Tesla out of Arkansas is another interesting dude. At 6'4", 214. You know, Arkansas had two big receivers. You know, they also had Andrew Armstrong, who ran a 4.51 at 6'4", 202. He was more of a possession guy, but he was also you know, extremely productive there for the Hogs. When we talk about Armstrong, he was in the first group, but 78 catches, over 1,100 yards, just the one touchdown, though. And then when you talk about Tesla, you know, had the really awesome hair that he was rocking. Oh, but Tesla, 28 catches, 545 yards, 19.5 yards per reception, 3 touchdowns. He had one of the catches of the day, though, where the ball, he was looking over his outside shoulder, the ball was thrown to the inside. He was able to basically completely move his body around as he's watching it over the one shoulder, adjust back to the inside, and still is able to haul in the pass. Really impressive. So not only a 4.4, 3.40 at 6'4 and 214 pounds, 39.5-inch vertical leap, he's a guy that I thought definitely helped his draft stock. I think if there's anybody who was curious, you know, he's a deep ball guy, tracks the ball really well. Saw that at the Senior Bowl, saw that here as well. Xavier Restrepo at 5'10 and 209, didn't run a 40, but another guy who I think just looked smooth in his drills. And that's one of the things that is just, it's fun to watch him play, I think. You know, he's another thickly built dude, a guy that's going to be able to play out of the slot. Playmaker there for Cam Ward. Whoever gets him, I think, you know, is going to be extremely happy. I think he'll probably end up being a third-round pick, although I could even take him in round number two and justify it. Nick Nash out of San Jose State, incredibly productive there for the Spartans. Ran a 4.57, 40. You know, that's not really Nick Nash's game. You know, he did have, I think they said on the broadcast, 40 plays, big plays. And this is a converted quarterback. So he came to San Jose State in 2019, played 3 years at quarterback, then flipped to receiver. And this past season, really, you've seen that development. I think the sky's the limit for this kid. He's going to just continue to get better. 104 receptions, over 1,300 yards, 1,382 to be exact, and 16 touchdowns. He'll be a day three pick. He'll probably be like a fifth rounder, but I think teams are going to be excited to get him into camp and really work with him. Isaiah Nair out of Nebraska, 6'4", 218, runs a 4'4", 40, 38-inch vertical leap, 11'1", broad jump. So you look at the stats and you're like, wow, this guy was impressive. 34 3/8-inch arms. This guy's huge. Can't catch the ball. You know, was dropping the ball on a lot of the different drills, even on the gauntlet. He just did not look comfortable, did not look smooth at all. So really a guy that worries me, you know, about, you know, whether or not he's going to get drafted. I think any chance that he had, you know, really kind of went out the window. You know, you see some of that big playability, but you know, it didn't really work. Jordan Watkins out of Mississippi. Look, when Trey Harris went down, it was Watkins who really stepped up. 5'11", 196, ran a 4.37, 40, 36.5-inch vertical leap, looked really smooth in the gauntlet, very confident in those hands, stayed straight down that line, and he's a guy that I think will be that mid-day three pick. But teams are, again, he's going to be a guy that I think could surprise, because he was not a guy that I think everyone was expecting. I think they were really expecting Antoine Juice Wells to be that number two receiver. Wells ran a 4.58 40, not nearly as confident in his hands. You know, so really it was Watkins who stepped up and was that number two receiver to Trey Harris. And he was really the guy that stood out when Harris went down to injury. I'm a big fan of Jordan Watkins. I think he's only continued to improve his draft stock. So he's a guy to watch for on draft day. You know, see exactly just where he is, you know, coming off the football or coming off the board. I think beyond that, you know, Ricky White out of UNLV ran a 4.61 40. Surprised that he didn't even end up in the 4.5 range, because he's a guy that could be explosive there for you know, the Rebels. Arian Smith out of Georgia, 6 foot 179. You know, you can get enamored with the speed at that 4.36, but just so many drops there at Georgia. He and Dominic Lovett, just that entire receiving core at Georgia really didn't do any favors for the quarterbacks there. A lot of drop balls. You know, Dylan Bell was probably the worst culprit, but Arian Smith is another guy that I think his hands really did him a disservice. And he actually looked pretty good in the drills, but he's a guy for me, you watch the game film, hands really a concern. You know, Kanate Mumfield out of Pittsburgh, 5'11", 186, very sudden receiver. He's quicker than he is fast, ran a 4.59 40. So as long as you understand what the type of receiver that you're getting, mid to late day three is where I think Mumfield is probably going to come off the board. If you remember, Mumfield actually started his career at Akron and ultimately moved on to Pitt after his first year. First year, he really caught my eye. 63 catches, 751 yards, and 8 touchdowns. Didn't see that same level of production until he got to Pitt his senior year. 52 catches, 813 yards, and 5 touchdowns. I think it was another situation where he just continued to get better and better there while at Pitt. And they really, you know, figured out the best ways to get him the football, allow him to make guys miss after the catch. So I thought that was something that also stood out there as well. So, you know, those were the receivers, you know, good and bad, that really stuck out for me. When I look at this draft class, again, I think what you're going to have is, you know, Travis Hunter is going to be that first receiver taken, and then after that, it'll be Tet McMillan. Beyond that, Luther Burden, Matthew Golden, Emeka Ebuka, battling it out to be that number three receiver. I think all three of them get drafted in round number one. After that, there are a ton of receivers that are jockeying to try to be in that round two range. So you've got Alec Iomanner, Jack Besh, are two in that first group, along with Jaden Higgins. I think Jaden Higgins has solidified his status as a second rounder. I think Jack Besh as well. I think Iomanner, because of his size and his ability to high point the football, makes him an option potentially in round number two. I think Trey Harris is just a smooth athlete, smooth operator there on the outside, a guy that can go up and attack the football in the air. he's either a second or third round pick. Torrey Horton for me out of Colorado State is another guy that I think is in that group. Potential second, third round. I told you, there are a lot of guys. Jalen Knoll out of Iowa State. I think that 4.39 40, 41.5-inch vertical leap, and a guy, you know, who went over 1,000 yards. You see the suddenness to his game, his ability to get open. He was doing that at the Senior Bowl. He was doing it all year for the Cyclones. And then he does, you know, shows up and shows off that athleticism. I think he's a day, you know, second round guy. Jalen Royals for me is also a second rounder for sure. You know, showcase that speed that you got to see there at Utah State. Playmaker, a guy that's going to get a, you know, really beat you off the release, off the line. That's really the group that I see. Xavier Restrepo, I thought was kind of in that group. He and Tez Johnson, they'll probably be third rounders, but a couple of guys that can work. Work well out of the slot. I think Jalen Knoll is going to be your number one slot guy that's going to be drafted. Isaiah Bond is another guy. I ultimately think he'll end up being a third rounder. I just, you know, there's not enough for me. You know, yes, he ran fast. Yes, he's a guy, you know, that, you know, the injuries, sure, there at Texas kind of slowed him down a little bit. But I just, even when he was healthy, I didn't see enough from Isaiah Bond to get excited. You know, I thought that he was going to be the replacement for Xavier Worthy, and I just didn't see enough there from him. It's kind of like Evan Stewart at Oregon, who's decided to come back and play another year in Eugene with the Ducks. It was Tez Johnson who really emerged and was the guy. Same thing with Isaiah Bond. It was really Matthew Golden who emerged and became the guy. So that's really when I look at this group. You know, that's really where I'm kind of looking. But you can find receivers on all 3 days of the draft and be excited about it. And I mentioned Jalen Lane's a guy that could end up coming off the board somewhere in that early to mid day three, probably mid to late now that I think about it. But I think Tesla, guys are going to go back to the film and really study him a little bit more. He'll be in that day three range. Kyle Williams, you know, his draft stock is continuing to climb, but I think round four feels about right for him. Now, the Colorado receivers, it's not just Travis Hunter. You know, you've got Jimmy Horn Jr., you've got LaJonte Wester. You know, a couple of guys that can do a lot of damage in the slot. They both ran a 4.46 40. And so those are guys that can be explosive receivers for you, attacking that defense. Day three guys. Jordan Watkins out of Mississippi, another guy that I think will be a nice day three pickup for a team. Nick Nash out of San Jose State, a guy who is continuing to improve, as I mentioned. He'll be in that conversation there on day three of the draft as well. I think Dante Thornton, just because of that speed and his ability to take the top off of a defense, I think that's going to be intriguing enough for teams to want to target him and go after him. So a lot of different guys. Ty Felton out of Maryland at 6'1", 183, and running that 4.37 40, a guy that I think day three, probably in the fifth round range. So a lot of guys that you're going to see come off the field or off the board on day three of the draft. I think that's really where the sweet spot's going to be, is probably in that round 4 to 5 range with this draft class. Again, I mentioned that there were five in round one. You're going to have that group of cluster of receivers that I mentioned in that 2 to 3 range, and then a lot of guys that you're going to see on day three. I mentioned Tesla. Andrew Armstrong out of Arkansas is another bigger receiver. He ran that 4.51. I think that really turned some heads. He's going to be a guy to keep an eye out for there as well. So, you know, Keandre Lambert-Smith, a guy that's going to be a deep threat. He'll be a late day three guy there as well. Even Caden Prather at 6'3 and a half, 204, ran a 4.46 40. He's a guy that wants to be physical with you. He's a guy that could be an option there on day three of the draft as well. So, again, a lot of receivers that stood out. You know, I didn't even mention Shamari DK out of Florida. Really wasn't utilized a ton there at Wisconsin, and you know, a lot of that was just due to some poor quarterback play. But you know, DK there at Florida, really his best season: 42 catches for 783 yards, 18.6 yards per reception, and 2 touchdowns. So, really, the theme with a lot of these guys was there was a lot of yards per reception. So you're going to be able to get a lot of those guys who can make plays after the catch, make plays down the field. So that's really where I'm at for the receiver group. And look, we've run through the running backs, we've run through the quarterbacks there as well. And really, the only position group that's left are the offensive linemen. And we're going to get to see them work out. with the last day of the combine. And you know, who all is going to work out? That's going to be the big question mark. Well, Will Campbell, Kelvin Banks, two of the top offensive linemen in the group. You know, if I'm Donovan Jackson, if I'm Armon Membu, especially if those guys aren't slated to work out, you know, you're probably going to want to make sure you take the field. Arianti Ursary, Minnesota, said that he worked out with the receivers. Love to see what he runs. Josh Connerly out of Oregon, another athletic tackle that you want to look for. See how he performs. Those are some of the guys. That Wyatt Milam out of West Virginia. You know, I think he's a bit of a mauler, but why he's going to be a guard. But you want to see the athleticism there. Tate Ratledge, Jonah Savanaya, Tyler Booker. Those are the other top guards in this draft that you want to see if they're going to be working out. Joshua Gray out of Oregon State is another one. Tackle guard type of a guy. Is Emory Jones Jr. out of LSU? Are we going to get to see him? There's, again, a lot of guys that you can get excited about. Anthony Belton out of NC State. Big dude. You want to see what type of an athlete he is as he shows up. The center position. Gray Zabel out of North Dakota State. Line up at center, line up at guard. You're going to probably see a little bit of both there at the combine. Jared Wilson out of Georgia, and then Jonah Monheim out of USC. Those are three guys that I'm excited to see work out there as well. Drew Kendall out of Boston College, a guy that can play both center and guard as well. There are a lot of guys that I'm looking forward to seeing work out. I think this is a group where you're going to see guys, you're going to get excited about guys for all 3 days of the draft. Look, who's going to be the first offensive lineman taken? That's really the big question mark right now, right? Is it Will Campbell? I thought right now, he's probably one of the clubhouse leaders. I think it's him and Membu. Membu is the guy that I think is most likely to play tackle of him, Will Campbell, and Kelvin Banks, although all three of those guys can end up playing tackle. I thought there was just some tape that you saw from Armon Membu against a lot of guys there in the SEC, a lot of dominant tape. He and Will Campbell both. I thought those are the two guys that are kind of a step above Kelvin Banks. Kelvin Banks is going to kind of be that third tackle that we're going to be interested in. But Donovan Jackson out of Ohio State, I thought really, he was a guard. Ended up having to move out and play tackle and looked great. So he's a guy to really look for. And then Josh Connerly, if he can ever anchor and not get pushed on his heels and get driven back, I think Josh Connerly is a guy that can end up starting in this league for a number of years. So really a fun group. We'll be watching it, and then I'll give you my thoughts on who really stood out, both positively and negatively, and then after that we'll be able to go ahead and put a mock draft out there. I currently have a mock draft out on the website, but I'll tell you what, I think the lot is going to be changing. There's some guys that really I've gotten more time to really study. We've gotten to see them work out at the combine, and I'm looking forward to delivering that to you as well. So we'll be talking about that here. We'll talk about the position groups. Again, we'll play NFL draft by the numbers and take a look at the number of guys at each position, where they're coming off the board. Can we predict how many quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, etc., come off the board in each of the 7 rounds of the draft? We'll play those by the numbers. We'll take a look at things. We'll talk about, obviously, NFL free agency, where we're going to see the biggest needs. And look, we still have a couple of months before the NFL draft. We're in early March. The draft isn't until the end of April. So there's a lot to cover between now and then. I am excited to bring it to you. Hope you are as well. So until next time, everyone, for readyforthedraft.com, this has been the Ready for the Draft podcast. I've been your host, Greg Schutz. Take care, everyone. And until next time, I am out of here.